Another live episode of the Butterfly Evolution Show. As your host, I want to personally just thank you for tuning in with us tonight. I have a special guest in, and I'll let him tell you who he is if he so chooses to do so, but we'll get to that here shortly. But I do want to just say a special thanks to our repeat listeners, and I call you guys our Butterfly Evolution family. You know who you are, my 678, my 770. They are typically always the first ones to come in, and I just want to say a special thanks to you all for being a part of the Butterfly Evolution family since day one. So thank you, and a special thanks also to our newcomers, our new listeners. Hopefully you will hear something in tonight's topic and show, our former shows as well, that will guide you to come back and be part of this Butterfly Evolution family. So before moving into tonight's topic, I want to just go over a few things. As a reminder to start with, I do want to just remind everyone that this show is available 24/7 online. The live shows air each Monday night at 8 Central Standard Time, and I'm saying this or adding this to my details because it seems people have gotten or are confused about when they can listen and how they are able to listen. So just a reminder, if you miss a show, if you share this information with someone and they say, well, I'm not available on Monday nights, let them know that they can always go to the site and listen to any of the shows, any of our previous shows. I'm going to open up the chat line here, you guys. Give me just a second, please. And while I'm doing that, I'm just going to keep going here with our details. But again, just remind them that they're available 24/7 and they're able to listen by phone, 818-691-7406. That is only for our live shows, so they cannot call in and listen to any previous shows using that number. That is simply for or only for Monday night, the live shows. Also, keep in mind that you are able to listen to this show from your cell phones using your internet service. I do want to remind you, in doing that, you want to be mindful of your data usage plan. So, because that in doing it that way, you will use up your usage plan or your internet service plan. You can also choose the Facebook social network. The links go out, as I just put them out just a minute ago, the links go out there, so you can just select the links from there for our live shows and past shows as well. So moving right along, if you are listening by phone, you must select the number one. If you have something to add to tonight's show, if you're listening by way of internet, you must be a registered follower in order to submit any comments or questions regarding this show. So that's all I have about the details of the show. And real quick, I'm sorry, as another reminder, some people, I think, choose not to register as followers. And if you have not and you have the capability to do so, please do that. And you don't have to register as a follower using your name. You can use your email address. You can create a name for this entity, for the Butterfly Evolution Show. But in doing that, it does a number of things. Certainly, it helps the reviews or the ratings for this show, and it keeps you updated as to what's going on, and it allows you to submit your comments or questions about any show that's live by way of chat. So moving right along, for my special guest, would you like to introduce yourself or say anything?
Yeah. First of all, I want to introduce myself. My name is Chris Ortiz. I'm 24. Devout follower of the man upstairs, and been graduated from college already, I've been working in my field now, architecture, graphic design, and just moving forward in life, you know. And if you have any other questions, just ask. If you want to know anything else.
Well, thank you. And I selected Chris because he is a young male who is just thriving for the Lord. And I tell him or say all the time that I wish I had that zeal at his age. And so I wanted to get, and I may have someone else calling in a little bit later who was not able to get here at this time, but they may be able to call in just a little bit later. But I wanted to get someone young, fresh, because to me, and I've had this conversation with several friends and relatives about it, seemingly some of our young people have a not only just a zeal for the Lord, but also a zeal for meaningful relationships as well. We hear other things in the news and the story about all young people are doing this, but we have a lot of young people who are really thirsty and hungry for a relationship with Christ. And I know we're talking about love tonight, and I know some people may be tuning in thinking, oh, we're going to talk about relationships, and we are, but we're going to go down to the root. I often try not to beat you up with the word, but I'm getting to a point in my life where I have to acknowledge how I got where I am and where what's going to get me where I want to go. And that's just basically just changing my life and growing through a relationship with the Lord. So before I get too deep and start the show, before I should start it, I want to remind you of your trash cans. In order to promote change, I always want to just continue to remind you all to do that. Move your trash can from point A to point B. And for our new listeners, this is just a way to acknowledge change and promote change. As you move your trash cans, monitor the number of times you return to its old location. And again, this is to promote change and have you look or get a visual as to how the mind works, how the mind keeps record, and how even the smallest thing, something just as simple as moving your trash can and does become a habit. And bear with me here for our repeat listeners. I know you've heard this 1,000 times, but I continue to repeat it to myself as well. Habits are powerful, powerful factors in our lives, so much so I don't think people give them enough thought. I don't think that they really put enough into really looking at what are my habits, what are the things that I am doing in my life that bring effectiveness or ineffectiveness in my life, and how can I change them. But habits are consistent and unconscious patterns. Very, so much expression on that, because unconscious patterns are things that we often do without much thought process. And they do, whether we want to admit it or not, they do affect our lives in a negative way or a positive way. So quickly, I just want to have you remember this as well. We sow a thought, we reap an action. Sow an action, we reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap character. So character and you reap destiny. I've said that over and over again, and I may just have that be a part of the shows as well, just as the trash can. So moving into tonight's topic, and that is, what's love got to do with it? And I just want to tell you, I played around long and long and trying to determine what this topic would be, and thankfully for I don't think she'll mind me using her name, but one of our faithful listeners, my cousin, Latasha, I always kind of call her and pick on her when I'm lost about a topic or what to do and how to say it. So it wasn't until Saturday morning or sometime Saturday that I called her saying, okay, what do you think about this? So I usually post the show details on Wednesday or Thursday, and here I am Saturday just coming up with this topic. But thank God that he's always on time and there when we need it right at that moment. And that was, of course, when I need it, because when I went to church on Sunday, the pastor's sermon was on love. So I was able to get a lot from that sermon as well. So that is what this show is about tonight and how it came about. The pastor's sermon yesterday was on love as it relates to affirmation. And if you remember, for those of you who are with us every Monday, we did a show a couple of months ago about affirmation. It was the show where we had the three couples on, and they came on and just kind of allowed us into their world as we talked about the five love languages. But that's what the sermon was about yesterday. And so this show, again, what their show that we had them on was, again, a basic about a learning how to love the person that you have chosen to love. And that's very important, learning how to love the person that you choose to love based on the needs of that person, your mate, based on what they need out of love, what he or she needs from you, and what makes that person feel loved. Again, very important in a relationship. And we're going to be kind of all over with this one because, again, as we talk about relationship versus men versus women, what we need, what we want, it all stems back to our Father, to God, and what God's Word says, and we're going to get into that. But if words, just going back to affirmation and the love language, is if words of affirmation is what your mate's love language is, but you are a person that you like to give gifts, so you say, well, I like to give gifts, and that's what I'm going to do, then that would not be right, because you are loving someone based on how you want to give love or maybe even receive love. So it's very important to tap into what the other person needs from you. And because I think we've become so self-centered, and Chris, jump in when you're ready, so self-centered and thinking what I need, we don't put, and again, this is on people that you choose to love and people who choose to love you. We're not talking about beating yourself over the head with people who are unavailable for love, because that's like beating a dead horse. So, but it's very important to identify with what your mate's love language is, and that was a really, really good show. Chris, anything on that?
On love, it's fine.
Right.
Well, first of all, you know, I believe that we nowadays need to really find out what is love before start trying to actually love somebody or, you know, things of that nature. We have to know what is love, you know what I'm saying? Because if you don't know what is love and you're just loving people and loving, you're just loving, you know what I'm saying, without really knowing what it is, you're just pretty much just playing around with emotion. It's so much more than emotion, you know what I'm saying? And I believe that we have to get down to the meaning of it, the theology of love, what it actually is, you know what I'm saying? And of course, it goes back to the source, you know, God. God is love. If you don't have God, if you don't have love in your life, which is God, if you don't have God in your life, how can you love humans? How can you love people? You know what I'm saying? God is like, have you ever seen that the fountain, I think it's like the four stages of fountain. You have the little small bowl at the top, and you have, you know, it's like four bowls, a smaller at the top, and as it, like, the second one is bigger, the third one is even bigger, and the fourth one is kind of real big, you know, and the fountain, the water shoots up from the middle, and it fills up the first bowl, and then the water, when the first bowl is filled up, it just starts filling all those other bowls. Right, and that's how it is with God. You know, we don't feel our relationship, if we don't meet, you know, if our relationship with God is not established, you know what I'm saying, if our bowl is not filled, if our life is not filled with the presence and the love of God, how can these other bowls, these other areas in our life be filled? How can our relationships be filled with love if the first bowl is not filled with love?
Right. And so timely, and I so agree. Going into the next phase of what I have, you know, I find myself really, as I get to know Tammy better and really trying to love better, because we have to be honest with ourselves. I can tell you, I was one. I thought I knew how to love. I thought I loved. But when God started dealing with me, well, when I allowed the dealing to take place, because I think he's always been there trying to deal with me, but I ran for so long. But it is, you tap yourself or you walk into a whole new world. I was speaking with someone, and he explained to me a couple of weeks ago that you have to be careful. I'm moving a little bit ahead in my notes, but you have to be careful what you ask God for, because if you ask God to show you how to love better, then just like patience, God, if you ask for patience, you're gonna have to learn how to deal with patience. You're gonna have to go through those trials and tribulations to learn how to be more patient. And I find myself the same with love. When you ask God, or for me, when I ask God to show me how to love better, unconditional love. You know, and this person said that God will send you someone who doesn't know how to love, don't want to be loved, don't know what love is. And it's easy to love someone that is deserving of your love. It's easy to do that. And sometimes so much so I think we don't give that person enough. Like people who are really deserving of love, like life, you know, we tend to just think that those people are okay sometimes, and we don't nourish them as we should. But that was an interesting conversation for me. So in saying that and bringing it back, and we're going to get to the mushy part, you guys, but again, I know no other way to start this other than talk about God and his greatest commandments, which is love. And as I prepare for this show Saturday and Sunday, you know, I was brought to Matthew 22:36-40. And this is where, in 36, is this teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And keep in mind this part, with all your mind. And then it goes on, Jesus goes on to say, this is the first and greatest commandment. In verse 39, it says, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 40, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So love is God's two greatest commandments. It's number one and it's number two. And I want to go back over that just real briefly. And again, keep in mind our topic for the night. What's love got to do with it?
And also,
Chris is a little sick, you guys, so bear with him. I just told him to speak up.
I'm pretty straight. But, you know, we have to, you know, the Bible says in Galatians 5:22, it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. And love is included in that. And I think that the Holy Spirit plays a significant, all-important role in that. You know, if you don't have the Spirit in you, you know what I'm saying, how can you love right? You know, when the fruits of the Spirit, when you have this Holy Spirit, we have to receive the Holy Spirit from God. We will know we have the Holy Spirit by our fruits. And love is one of those fruits. And naturally, human beings cannot love like that. They cannot love unconditionally. We love conditionally because we are flawed human beings. We are limited in our understanding and stuff like that. And it takes God, you know, it takes the Holy Spirit in us to love people above what we see in the natural. We have to look at people through God's eyes. And to see them as God, you know, see them how God sees them, and that's going to enable us to love them past their flaws, past what we see in the natural, because we too focused on the natural and we too focused on the flaws and stuff like that. Of course, that's going to make it hard for us to love, but if we see it God sees, it's going to make it more easier. Well, not easier, but it's going to make it more bearable, you know, for you in loving that person and stuff like that, because the Holy Spirit in you enables you to do that. We cannot love right in our own strength. You know what I'm saying? That's why God is love. That's why he always, you know, that's why he made it the most important commandment, to love. You know what I'm saying? It's a all-important commandment, because he knows that we human beings cannot love. You know what
I'm
saying?
Even with loving yourself, too, you know, we talk so much about loving others, but The focus I'm going to go a little bit tonight is, of course, love should have everything to do with it. The question is, what does love have to do with it? At this point in time, in this world, I say not a whole lot, but it should have everything to do with it, just based on Matthew, as I just read. But where I think we fall short is learning to love ourselves first and foremost. I think we have been taught to, we've been raised to just We should love people. But again, it goes back to drowning. If you are drowning and I cannot swim, I can't jump in and save you. I just can't. I can throw you a rope. I can go get you some help. Same thing with love. We put so much focus to the point we get tired of trying to love people because you are trying to give something that you don't have. And that's the focus of this show tonight as it relates to God and relationships. Because regardless, I think we all long for that unconditional love. Women, I know we do, for the most part. For the most part, women want a man in their life who is going to be emotional supportive, who is going to listen to us even when we are going on and talking about things they don't want to hear about. When we are just stumbling over our words, don't know what we're trying to say, when we're trying to say it. Ladies, you know how we are. But women, if we would be honest, we want that. We long for that. It was designed that way. We need that. We are emotional creatures. So it is important that you love yourself for many reasons, because God tells you in one of his commandments, love your neighbor as yourself. If I don't love me, if you don't love you, how can you love your neighbor? And don't get caught up in your neighbor being the person next door, across the street, behind you, the people at work. If you have chosen a mate, that is your closest neighbor. It should start right there. So often we will go, as I remember Erica Murray being on the show, and again, y'all, I hate to keep bringing Erica up, but I learned so much from Erica's book. It's not a spiritual book. It's a self-awareness book. And, again, goes back to self-love. But I remember her saying how men, and I'm not beating up on men, sorry, but this was her analogy, that men will oftentimes be walking with their wives or their girlfriends, and they're approaching a door. They rarely will open the door for their wife, girlfriend. It could be mother, anything. But if they're out and about at work, going in the store, they see a lady and they sprout up to open the door for her. See, our minds have been conditioned to love other people better than our neighbors. Love the neighbors in the aspect of who we think our neighbors are. But someone told me this years and years ago, that we get so caught up in neighbors being someone else, and we miss those people oftentimes that are right there,
and also,
so deserving of our love.
And also with that, when you was talking about how, you know, they won't open the doors for your mate, but they open doors for other people. It's easier to love somebody when you don't know their flaws. It's easier to respect somebody when you don't really know them. You know what I'm saying?
But we're talking about something as simple as opening a door for your,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it is, but even that, to get people to think about, when we do that, you know, if you're walking with your wife or someone you have chosen to love, those are the people that we should offer the most grace and mercy to. But we've been trained, I think, as society and family we've been brought up to always do for others, always. And I'm not saying, don't misunderstand me here, that we don't do that, but we have taken that to a different level. We have we just don't know how to truly take care of ourselves and the people around us. And I think what that does is makes you get to a point where you start to become bitter. You don't really trust love. You don't know how to love, who to love, or when to love. And so you just end up existing with someone that you don't really know how to express love to. Not saying that that is always the case, but I do agree with Chris when he says that you know, it's easier to love someone, but I think that's getting a little bit deeper. If we're talking about something as simple as opening the door for your significant other, and it could be for wives, you know, if a wife won't cook for, and I'm just using this because that's kind of the role set, not standard, but If wives will often, you know, jump up and do things. I think she did the coffee. She used the coffee example in her book, Erica did, for this scenario. Wives can be at the job, and typically I think she did this because, you know, secretaries and assistants are usually women. And if your boss or someone at work asks you to make a cup of coffee for them, you eagerly, most women say, oh, yeah, how much sugar, how much cream? But if they get home and their husband asks, baby, will you fix me a cup of coffee, oftentimes they will get, can you fix it yourself? I'm tired. You know, and I think we need to get back to a point, if we want that love, and I'm going to get to this, we have to look at our actions. What are we putting out to the people that we say we choose to love?
Do you think it's a sense of newness?
It could be a sense of newness. Chris' question was, do I think it's a sense of newness? I do have that in my notes as well. Very well could be, because if you notice how when you first meet someone, think about this, people, when you first meet someone, how eager you are to do whatever they ask. Most times when you first meet someone, if they want to go somewhere that you don't like, you'll go. If they want you to pick them up and go here, most times you'll go. You will. But what happens is the more the relationship grows in the time, we start to, and why is that? Somebody out there answer that for me. We're getting a little bit above, but that's okay. I mean, I'm glad you brought that up, the newness of it. And I find that a lot in people. Like you meet somebody, you're willing to go and talk. You're willing to talk on the phone to them all night. You're willing to listen to them rumble. But Lord have mercy, let some time go by and you get to know, it's like it just becomes, that person becomes less important when it should be just the opposite. You should start slow.
I think it has to play a part with unrealistic expectations. Expecting, you know, you have a lot of expectations about this person, a lot of possibilities, and you're running a lot of scenarios in your head about this person and stuff like that, and it's cooking up a lot of, you know what I'm saying, a lot of what ifs and a lot of possibilities and a lot of fantasies in our heads to the person. So we try to work that out or try to manifest it.
I think you're on to something with the newness. I think you're really on to something with the newness when you ask the question, is the newness? Because it's like society keeps things new. That, like we were talking about the iPhones. You know, we get one iPhone 4, and before we get used to that, they got an iPhone 5. It's like something's always new.
We want something new.
Always new. We want that new feeling. And I think we look at love as just a feeling. And when you lose the feeling, the love must be gone. And that's not true. Love is more than a feeling. Love is a commitment. Love is a choice. And all these things. And when you make that choice to love someone, you are saying, I'm going to commit to loving you the way that you need to be loved. I'm going to commit to what we want together in the future. And people lose sight of the journey. They get so caught up in the feeling until they miss the whole part of love, what comes with love. So I think Chris is really on to that newness, because, again, you know, ask yourself, it's really the feeling of love typically happens pretty quickly, probably more so for women maybe than men, but typically because women, again, we're emotional, we want, we long, and we yearn, and we're hungry for a man to come in our lives and emotionally stimulate us, emotionally support us. So typically, if you come in our lives and you are moving quickly, you're listening to us, you're going where we want to go, and then all of a sudden, when it goes to another level, that seems to diminish a great deal. So I think Chris, again, is on to that newness, and we lose sight. We get so caught up in the feeling, but again, it's quick, probably, again, more so for women than men, it's quick for us to fall in love, but think about this. How quickly or how easy is it to fall out of love?
It depends on the feeling. You know what I'm saying? The love is much more than a feeling, like we said earlier. And some people they think love is just a feeling. And feelings, they come, they go, you know, they up, down, and what have you. And if you're placing your, you know, quote-unquote love and just an emotion in that person, You know what I'm saying? Like, one day you may feel like you love them so much, and then the next day you don't feel like you don't love them no more and stuff like that. It's just a lot of ups and downs in your emotions, and you're keep doubting yourself. You're like, do I really love this person or not? You know, you keep having doubts, you know, about the person once you, you know, go on in a relationship and mm-hmm. elevating stuff like that.
Do you think that's normal?
Yeah, I do too. It's natural.
And you guys that are listening, get in on this. That question was, do you think that's normal? And I really do. And that's why you have to focus on your commitment to love, your choice to love. This is the person that I have chosen to love. But that's another thing. We are not committed and dedicated to almost anything today. We, like Chris said, the newness. We're always looking for something new. We're not building anything. People want to move in the house and move out 2 or 3 years later. People want to just always new. And it does. That's a trap. That's just another one of Satan's tactics to get us so far away from the simplicity of life, the enjoyment of meeting someone, falling in love, growing to love even better, establishing your future together, being in awe and waiting for your grandkids together so that they don't have to go to grandpa's house over here and grandma's house over here. You know, that is the way that God designed it. And if we operate it in the love the way that God commands us to do, there will be less single family homes, less divorces, a lot more love. So, you know, again, this is going to be a fun topic. I promise I'm going to get to those fun questions that y'all want to answer and talk about as it comes to relationship. But if we don't start with the basis, even when you meet Mr. Right, you will be Mrs. Wrong. Or when you meet Mrs. Right, you will be Mr. Wrong. And a lot of times that happens. We have to deal with us, with ourselves. Yeah. We have to.
And another thing, I think people nowadays, it's like the enemy has infiltrated our lives to such where we have, you know, you ever heard somebody say we have zero tolerance, that they do one little simple thing and they just cut it off, you know what I'm saying? Like a lot of people, we need to understand that if you really want to love somebody, you have to really think and you have to really meditate on the fact that this person is going to have flaws that might be that you might, you know, look at it with the second eye and be like, oh, well, okay, then you have to make a decision. Should I continue on or not? You know, because a lot of people, you know, you hear the term, we're not perfect, ain't nobody perfect and stuff like that. But it's like we say that, but our actions say that we expect somebody perfect. And we have to realize that everybody is not perfect. Everybody has a flaw. And everybody, well, more than one flaws. And everybody has this baggage, this dirt. You know what I'm saying? The question is, when you ask yourself, do you want a mate or do you want a person? You have to think and you have to ask yourself also, are you willing to accept this person's flaws, whatever it is? Are you willing? You have to really make it, you know, you have to really make that your one of your top questions to ask yourself when entering a relationship or a friendship with a person that you're looking for a relationship with and so forth and so on. You know, you have to really ask yourself, are you willing to deal with the baggage? You can't have a zero tolerance for everybody that comes your way because of what happened in your past and stuff like that. You know, you have to be, you know, that's one of the fruits of the Spirit is long-suffering. You know what I'm saying? And patience.
That's what Brother said. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that goes back to, Chris is so right on that, and that was one of my flaws. That was one of my, I don't know the word for it, but there was something that one thing could happen, and I was just every single day, one thing happened, I'm ready to quit. Another thing happened, I'm ready to quit, you know. And that's why I think God had to really, he really gave me an opportunity to really work this love thing out, and I'm thankful for that. But, you know, that's really good and really true what Chris is saying is that you can't choose your mate, because when you choose your mate, what you're saying is I'm dedicated, I'm committed to loving you, shortcomings, flaws, and all. Because get this, people, It ain't going to be, and I'm saying ain't. It ain't going to be that you're going to meet someone that's going to do everything the way you want them to do, when you want them to do it, how you want them to do it. There ain't no Mr. Perfect. Now, there could be a Mr. Right, because this is the person that you are willing to accept flaws and all and still say, I choose to love you. I want to love you. I want a future with you. But there ain't no Mr. Perfect.
And we have to understand that two people, you know, we're in a relationship with somebody. Both of y'all came from a different lifestyle. Both of y'all came from a different background. You know what I'm saying? Background for lack of, you know, words. We're going to use background. You know, both of y'all came from different backgrounds, different settings. And when God mend both lives together, these are two separate lives. So there's going to be friction along the way. And that friction may be arguments, differences, and stuff like that. We have to understand that. God said it that way, you know what I'm saying? Because when two people join together as one, when they get married and stuff like that, it's going to fit. It's like gears. You know, we got gears in the car. You got a certain gear to go in this slot, and as it goes, it just falls into the slot and stuff like that, and it just goes around and round and round. You know, and that's how it is with two people. You know, they have God in it and so forth, and if you know who you are, and it also starts with identity as well. You have to find out who you are before anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you find out who you are, how are you going to try to get to know somebody else and you don't even know yourself? You know, how are you going to love
or know what you want?
Know what you
when
want.
When you don't know who you are.
Right.
So we start out with the wrong people, possibly. You could start out with the wrong people. Now, that doesn't mean that two people, after making that mistake or that error, can't agree to say, okay, we may have stepped in this thing a little bit too soon, but what can we do to stay together? And I know for a fact that people have to. I remember this elderly lady saying that they had been together married for a very, very long time, and that what she said was, we never fell out of love at the same time. Now, that takes two adult people. That takes two people who are choosing to be adults about it, because at some point, I'm sure there are times where they both felt like, I don't love you, and it was at the same time. But someone has to stay committed to the commitment and stay dedicated to the choice for what we have committed and agreed to building. And again, it doesn't have to be a point where you are married, because you should be making this commitment and this choice so that it leads to marriage. You should be committed, you know, in some ways long before you get to the I do. Because if it ain't, that's another thing we mess up on. If it ain't working out, if there's a lot of back and forth, ups and downs, then why jump the broom? Because the same thing on this side is going to be on the other side, unless something drastically and significantly change within.
And I think that as well, that the reason why, you know, you have like dry marriages and stuff like that. I mean, I'm not married or nothing like that, but God has blessed me with some knowledge and understanding, and still blessing me with, and I'm still hungry and thirsty and going after it. But I believe that in your relationship, it's a danger of being too familiar with the person. You know, if you're being with the person, it becomes routine. And y'all not doing something new, again, it's that newness, you know. So y'all just continue to do new things together, find new things, find new ways, you know, to tap into each other's love languages and so forth and so on, and make a commitment not to do a lot of the things that you do. It's like the same things you do over and over again, or the same routines. You go see each other on the weekend. Y'all do this, that, and the other, you know. And after a while, you know, it becomes dry, and it's like, you know, there's no sense of newness there. You know, I believe that the newness can be also applied to when you're already in a relationship. You can, you know, like I said, do new things, go new places. I mean, you can do a whole lot of things that, you know, that's new. They could be new to both of y'all, and I believe that'll rekindle and keep the fire aflame, you know, naturally speaking. But in a spiritual sense, what would keep us strong and keep, you know, the source that we have to enter into each time we probably feel like we drained, or we running out of love for this person or something like that, is to get in the presence of God. Get to the source. We were created to dwell in God's presence. Like a fish without a water. When the fish is out of the water, it's going to eventually die. And when we disconnected from the Spirit of God, the presence of God, it's going to be for, it won't be long that we will spiritually die. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, for the Holy Spirit to be quenched in us, and those fruits will begin to dry up in our lives as well.
Chris just made me think about this book, and I showed it to Chris. Now, I haven't read it, but I go to yard sales, and anytime there's books at the yard sales, I get them. You know, I'll read them one day, but I just love books. And one of the books, Chris, if you remember, it said, "What if marriages were designed?" I may have the subject topic wrong or the name wrong, but what if books were designed to bring glory to God or something like that? And thinking about what he just said, you know, you look at, think about someone in your life that you know. There's not too many people that I know that have that that unity. Even in a relationship, not just marriage, two people that are dating who are unified on one accord. What's the name of it, Chris?
I was going to read. I had wrote it down. Want me to read it?
Yeah, tell them what the name of that book is.
Okay. Well, actually, it's not the name of it, but I got the went ahead on the top
okay.
of it.
Okay.
And I'm going to read it. It says, "Your marriage is more than a sacred covenant with another person. It's a spiritual discipline designed to help you know God better, trust him more fully, and love him more dearly. What if God designed marriage to make us holy more than to make us happy?"
That's what it was. So what if God designed marriage to make us holy, more holy than happy? And I think what that means is, you know, you guys, to be able to love someone or to commit to loving someone for a lifetime and then to dedicate yourself to doing that takes a true... that's a big person. That's a big woman and a big man to really love. Because you're going to have, there's some days you're going to have to love them when they're not deserving of it, when you don't want to. And think about God saying that love is his two greatest commandments. Think about that. That, to me, that speaks volume. Chris also made me think about, and I'm going to have to put my glasses on for this one because I cannot see. Chris made me think about when we talked, he said the newness of it, always creating newness in your relationships. I was reading, I believe this is Ebony, I was reading the Ebony, the latest edition, and it was talking to couples, interviewing couples, and just about how they were able to make love and marriage work all of these years. And one of them, all of them were very interesting, but one of them really came across in a very positive way, and it was, this is Dana and Adrian, and again, it's in the Ebony magazine, and I believe it's the most, yes, February 2013, so as everybody is talking about love and Valentine's Day, I guess they are as well. So what this one goes on to say is that Angela basically goes out of her way always to put Alan's needs before her own. Coming home, for example, she noted, coming home before a girl's night out just to make sure he has a hot meal, for example. Again, likewise, before Alan hits the links for a few rounds of golf with the guys, he'll cross an item or two off her honey-do list just to show that, hey, I'm here with you. I'm still here. We are still connected. And as Chris was talking about newness, again, I think it's so easy to make the people in our lives second. The people in our lives that we say we love, we say we cherish, we want a life with, we want a relationship with, we want to grow old with. I think those are the people that sometimes get our second best when, in essence, they should get our best.
Like we get too used to the people in our lives because we've been around for so long and stuff like that. There's a danger of being too used to that person being around, you know, and you start that. And the result of that will be taking a person for granted and not overlooking things that, you know, they used to set you on fire for the person and stuff like that. You know, we have to humble ourselves. We have to stay humble toward each other in a relationship. You know, and we have to, like I said, we have to learn to just continually do new things and, you know, continue to keep the spice going in the relationship, you know, by doing new things with each other and stuff like that, and just respond. And also the five love languages, I'm familiar with them, but I need to dive a little deeper into it. But I believe that's a very important thing there, about knowing, you know, the two persons, they have to know what is their love language, what sets them, you know, on fire when the other mate do something that's, you know, that they respond to most.
Right. It's like I equate this to maybe a bad example, but you know my examples. Take, for instance, a plant, and someone mentioned this to me as well. You know, we will purchase plants. I'm not a plant lover. If it's real, I don't need it, because I'm not going to be good with watering it and all sunshine and all that. So, but just for the sake of the example, you know, if we go out, or if you are a plant lover and you have plants, you have to know what type of plant you have, what its needs are. More water, little water, more sunshine, little sunshine. Going back to what we were talking about earlier, we will put more emphasis on things that at the end of the day really don't matter. We will take more time to learn about what a plant needs in order to keep it alive, thriving, and well, more so than we will do with our significant others. And that's what the five love languages is about. It's about what is it that your mate needs in order to feel loved. Again, I know plants just would not thrive in my house. I don't buy them. So I need to make the same choices in picking a mate. But I also need to know what my mate needs in order to feel loved. We talked about that for those of you who have listened regularly on the show Don't Cheat Love, where we had the couples on, as I mentioned earlier. We talked about that, and if you remember, the couples were able to share, you know, how defining what their mate needed from them and vice versa, how they're able to continue and thrive more consistently and grow in their relationship. Because, again, if you are, for me, gifts don't do it for me. Things, you know, that just, I don't need that. It doesn't do it for me. But some people, it may. So you have to know, and it can't be about what you want. It has to be what the other person needs from you in order for you to express the love to them that they need. No different from if you marry someone that speaks only Spanish. I think we've used this example or scenario on the show as well. If you don't know how to speak Spanish, it ain't going to work. It's just, you're not going to be able to communicate effectively. So it goes back to all that. But getting back to the love part of it, as we were talking about, the word love has just been so distorted in society. And in doing so, it's really lost its meaning and its value. Going back to God's word saying, my greatest commandments are, of course, love the Lord with all your heart, your mind, your soul. And secondly, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. We got to get back to a point where, I mean, people, I see people, person after person, who they think they love themselves. They'll say that they love themselves, but if you really look at their actions and how they treat themselves, you wonder. I see the same thing happening with our young girls. I don't know where they're going to go if mothers and fathers continue to be disconnected as they are. And this, again, is all going back to what God says the greatest commandments are.
And, you know, you have some people that may say, well, you're saying all of this, but you don't know my situation, or, you know, they think that their situation is too great, you know, for you, or too beyond help, stuff like that. Well, that may be, you know, we might not know, you know, what you're going through or what have you, you know, all of the abuses and the beatings and all of those things that you've been through. We don't fully know those things or whatnot, but we know a God that can heal you and restore you and make up for those lost years and those lost relationships, you know. And, and like I was saying,
that's okay. Chris got a little lost there. That's okay. I want to go back to, I was having a conversation with someone, and the wording really, really blessed me. And and it was a male. And what I've dealt with the last few weeks, I've heard some of my friends say, and ironically, I had just come across a few conversations with men as well where men are choosing celibacy. And I found that ironic because no sooner than I heard it and had the conversation, a friend of mine was sharing with me that she had been running into men who were just opting out, just saying enough is enough. And so, of course, that just drove this conversation even further because, you know, talking about love. So I asked a person, and I said, okay, well, what is it? What is it that made you get to this point? Is it just too much out there? Did you just get tired? And one of the answers, I asked several people, but one of the answers was, you know, I feel like even when I go to church, and this is him talking, I feel like I am just in a meat market. It seems like men don't have to go after the women anymore. They're too easy. They have no goals. They have no ambitions. And he says, it seems that I keep running into the same type of women. And that was very thought-provoking as well. But that alone goes back to loving yourself. And I really feel that somewhere along the way we have lost that and we've gotten so far away from loving yourself. Because, again, as one of the greatest commandments says, love thy neighbor as you love yourself. If you don't love yourself, you cannot love your neighbor. And people will say over and over again, or they won't say it at all. They just have that as an implied notion that it's just known that you know I love myself. But if you really think about it and you look at how you treat yourself, the things that you allow in your life, the people that you allow in your life, do you really? Do you really? So think about that, and now I guess we're going to move it up a notch and get to some of the stuff that you probably want to hear about, but it does start there, people. It does. You cannot love someone if you don't love yourself. It may start out like gravy, but it won't last. It just will not last. So getting back to the love part, I'm going to check my – I'm waiting because, again, I had someone else going to come in with us, so I need to check. They're going to text me and let me know when they are ready. Okay. Not yet. So we're going to move forward. Now, getting to the Valentine's Day part, and I want to go back and read my show description. I got my notes all everywhere here, you guys, because we jumped around so much. So, but I want to read the show details for this particular show, and it reads as this. Love is in the air, or is it? According to statistics, Valentine's Day is the second most popular card-sending holiday and is known as Love Day. Due to the rising number of divorced, single-family homes, and the number of people seeking everlasting love, I personally find this to be a thought-provoking statistic. Still, on this day, love is in the air, or is it? Condom and florist sales are highest on Valentine's Day. March, 1 month after this day, and pregnancy test sales go hand in hand. So what is this day really about? What does love really have to do with it? What do we really know about L-O-V-E? Is love really in the air, or is it just another man-made day that lacks true significance or understanding? I wanted to read that because, again, I wanted you guys to hear that because not all of you get to see the show description. But in my opinion, love really has nothing to do with Valentine's Day, in the sense that we have made it or portray it to be. Many people are going to go out and spend money on people that, in most cases, they don't like, let alone love. I have heard and have seen women who will purchase flowers for themselves and send it to themselves, just to be part of this craziness, just to say my man, and knowing that they sent it to themselves, because there was a time when I used to read the cards, I can say that. There was a time where I had the ability to just sneak and read their cards and so enjoyed it. But, you know, it's sickness. It's just like, serious, really, really, they're going to die. They're plants, people. But they will go out and spend money. on themselves and say that it came from some man just to feel like they're part of the group, all alone knowing that you said it to yourself. It's crazy to me. And again, what does love have to do with that? What does love have to do with you getting 12 roses that's going to die one day out of the year from someone who treats you like crap anyway? What does love have to do with it? And you get all goo-hoo and go and, you know, happy over it, knowing that after tonight, it's all over and back to business as usual. So what does love have to do with it? I just think it's another day that we allow society to tell us when to love, how to love, and to do it on this day, basically. And spend your money while you're doing it. Because if love was about it, that one day wouldn't matter. We wouldn't feel like, women wouldn't feel like they got to send themselves flowers to be a part of this society of love, so to speak. So I wanted to share that with you and start asking some questions that hopefully you guys will participate in. I'm going to check the chat line. Chris, do you have anything before I do all of this?
No, I think you
If you'll give me a minute, I need to check the chat line. And I'm going to check one more to make sure my second guest is ready for us.
Yeah, I think we can, move along on the questions and see what that's about there.
Okay. Well, this is the part where I'm probably going to get more, we are probably going to get more into what you guys tuned in for, because I don't think you really want to hear all that other stuff about the spiritual part of it, but it really does start there. And I can say for me, until I really started to deal with Tammy and how incorrectly I loved and expected people to love me, it just didn't work for me. It just was a battle. It was it just wasn't fulfilling. So and I'll be the first to admit that a lot of that was because of me. It was because we neither of us knew how to love. We just were two people in love and didn't know exactly what to do about it. Still just trying to please self. So
ask yourself this question: are you in love with the person or are you in lust with them? Really get the meaning of that.
Can you go a little bit on that lust part? I mean, I know what that means, but
like a lot of people, like I said, it's about feelings and stuff like that, and some people confuse love to what the person can do for them. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like say for instance, love is not, he can go check the mailbox for me. Oh, that means he loves me. You know, it's not solely dependent on that.
On what a person does or
right.
How a person does it, right? And I think that goes back to the newness as well, that, again, society has conditioned us. We have allowed society to condition us that we always need something new, something, it has to be something better, greater, so much so till we just get kind of stale. We feel like relationships are stale or the same person for a lifetime. And some people just don't want it. That's a different, that's another topic, another show. But again, I think we oftentimes do allow society to just dictate, like Valentine's Day or any other day, dictate when we buy, what we do, and all of that. I've never been caught up with, again, roses and things. I think if I'm going to get roses, I've told Chris this, give me one a month so I can get 12 a year. Rather than 12 at one time that's going to all die at one time. It takes more effort for someone to think about you in that way. So much so, I remember this story. I actually read about this where this couple, they were married and the male passed away. He died, but he was sick and planned this, knew that he was going to, was told that he was going to pass away. And eventually he did, but he actually would send his wife flowers once a month. And what he did was he made arrangements for the floral department, florist to do that even after he passed away. So his wife continued to get flowers from him. That's love. That is the kind of love that God intended us to have for one another, and particularly in relationships.
And not and not saying that, you know, you have to do a big extravagant thing to let somebody know you love them. It's, you know, it's also hitting in the little things as well, you know, going picnics, you know, or go spending more time intimately with each other, go on walks and stuff like that. You know, not necessarily you have to do a lot of works for them to love them. You know what I'm saying? Love resides in y'all, in you two guys' intimacy levels with each other. You know, being more intimate, just listening to each other and all of those intimate moments, those priceless moments.
And just remember, people, love, as we said, it's just been so distorted. But it does take action. You have to really be committed and be committed to remaining consistent, not all the time to the person, but just to your choice, to your commitment to loving that person. It has become so easy for people to just walk away from everything. People are walking away from their children. Children are walking away from their just everything. Everybody. It's just we don't hold ourselves accountable enough to anything. It used to be where people will get a job and stay there and grow within that job. Again, I'm not telling anybody to get a job and stay there. It's totally up to you. But my point there is we have become so lax in commitment and remaining dedicated to our choices and our words. But, again, I think that goes back to because we're selecting the wrong people because we don't know who we are, so you can't know what you want out of a person. You don't love yourself, so you can't love someone else. You're expecting them to bring you all this happiness and complete you when you don't know what completes you because you don't know who you are. You don't know even sometimes that they love you, as I said earlier. Sometimes Mr. Right can come along, but you can be Mrs. Wrong because you're not quite there yet. Chris and I were laughing, talking about this earlier, how I was expressing how I've heard some women say that, you know, well, I want a man that makes six figures and no children and all this. And I remember telling one of my friends, now, how you have no degree, you got several children, no house, and you want what? And I'm not saying you can't have that, but you have to, I mean, if you're expecting this from someone else,
you have to be
what
you're looking for.
Right. So I want to get to some of the questions and make it a little bit more fun for you, I guess. We've been so serious with it. And now I'm going to put these questions out there. I'm not necessarily going to answer them. So if anybody out there, I see you guys. If anybody out there, my 678 and 770 and 404 and 206, I see you guys out there. So for those of you who are in the chat line, I think Chris and I have did enough talking tonight, so we're going to let you guys, if you don't want to answer the questions, just think about them as you move forward.
Yeah, I have been a motor mouth. If I'm getting on y'all nerves.
I'm surprised that Chris doesn't even talk that much in front of people. But I was talking, before going into the questions, I had a chance to talk with someone today, and I actually called this person just picking his brain because we have good conversation, and whenever I do talk to him, it's always, I get a lot from it. So I called today, and I said, remember you were telling me this, and remember you said this, and he laughed and said, I can't believe you remember me saying that, but I do that. I listen, and I may not say anything right then, but I'm writing down or just remembering or something. So it's those aha moments. But he said to me that he really just wants to do it right this time, that he really wants to meet someone, date them, fall in love with them, grow with them, and have sexual relations with them on their wedding night. And so this is one of the people that have just chosen to, he's basically, I'm just sick of the mess. I'm just sick of the drama, the up and down, the inconsistencies and things like that. He said, basically, I just got tired and I just wanted to remove myself from it. Also a person who talked about when I go to church, it's almost like I'm a piece of meat because the women just come from everywhere. And I've seen that happen a lot. But I thought, with him saying, I really just want to do it right this time. I just want to do what God, I want to do what God says to do in the way that he wants to do it. And again, it seems that I've heard that quite a bit over the last month or so. So much so till one of my girlfriends ended up telling me that she had been running into that kind of thing as well. So it was interesting to find that men are taking this direction.
Seriously.
Right, right. So that was just interesting. I wanted to get that out. But for those of you who are listening, how important, I wanted to go there because of this question, how important is sex in a relationship, and will a relationship survive without sex? So, again, I'm saying that because some people are choosing, you know, to go that route. Find it interesting that lately I'm coming across more men that are choosing than women. So anybody want to comment on that? We have someone from our, I'm not familiar with this number. I'm going to pull this person in. And I did not say this, but the way that we will identify your call is provide you with your area code that you're calling from and the last 4 digits of the number that you're calling from. So I am pulling in at this time someone from 610 area code with the last 4 digits of 8422. Caller, you're on the air with us if you have a question or comment. Caller? Make sure I pulled you in. Caller, you're on the air with us.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I don't think I pulled you in. I'm sorry. So this is from 610 and last 48422?
Yeah.
Okay. You can go ahead with your question or comment. Thank you for calling in.
You're welcome. I'm going to try to be really quick here, but first I want to ask a question.
Okay.
Well, I want to ask a question, and I think everybody who's listening on our come by the show and archives might know this, but I want to know, why is it so hard for someone like me to actually find someone? Shouldn't it be so simple? I am young, and there's a lot of young people out here, but why is it so hard? It's like trying to find a needle in a haystack.
I don't mean to laugh, but you know what? That's a question I think many people find themselves asking. I personally, and this is Tammy, I'll answer from my standpoint first. But personally, I just think people are, I think that most people, not all, I just think most people really desire to find someone and grow old with them, someone that loves them in spite of flaws and all of that. However, I think, again, society has just put us in a mode to where we feel that relationships don't work, commitment doesn't work. Like I explained with the guy saying that he's just sick of the mess. It seems everybody is playing games. Nobody wants to take the time to do the work to get what they want. And that's, again, it just boils down to what we've allowed society to tell us and condition. Also, I think some people have just really been hurt to the core. They've given themselves in a way that they feel probably that they could have never given to anybody. And when that happens, I think sometimes it makes people shut down and just take part in the game. They say, I'm going to give you enough to get by, and that's it. But all that other stuff, I don't think many people believe in that. So when you come to them in that manner, again, I just don't think guys are taking it serious enough. On the flip side of that, there's so many women out there that will do whatever, put up with whatever, till they don't have to. It's like, and I don't know if you're a new caller, but it's like I remember doing the show. I had a guy tell me, and it blew my mind. It really did. It stayed with me so much so till I found myself a year later. I had to find him and say, what did you mean by that? But I was out one night, and this guy, you know, he was trying to get his game on and just ran across the wrong person, because I was like, for real? I'm sorry, I'm not going. Wrong woman. And he said, it's cool, because what you won't do, 100 women will. And I said, well, you just ran into number 101, because I ain't in that number, that 100 number. So I found myself just like, man, it just bothered me. So a year later, I mean, I found this guy just through asking people, do you remember this? And we were here, we were there, who was this guy? And so when I found him, he really sat and talked and explained. We sat on the phone for like 2 hours with him explaining, because I'm like, what did you mean 100 women will do? And he said, basically, women are going for anything. He explained. He gave me a scenario of what he did and how he went about this with this lady and how she still came back. And it blew my mind. But what he's saying is, we don't have to work anymore for you guys. It's out there. What you won't do, he's saying, Tammy, 100 more women will. So, hey, I'll be back to get you when I'm ready to settle down, basically. And it's sad, but I'm not saying that's all the reasons. People just go through and have their own things that make them do or don't. But I say to you, you know who you are. You know what you want. Don't settle. Some of us just going to have to be alone. That's just going to be it. Don't settle. Because it's a terrible thing to be with somebody and they got to come home every night to you and you don't like them. That's a terrible feeling. So, but a lot of women and a lot of men, will take that over being alone. I just can't fathom that. I just can't live that life anymore. I just can't. So I just say to you, I don't know if that helps you or not. You may think of it as being a good thing that you are a needle in a haystack. And just keep your eyes focused on you and moving forward. And the word tells us, he who finds a good woman, you know, finds a woman, finds a good thing. So allow that to come. And it may be that you just need to work and continue to grow and wait. Because I say again, don't settle. And you have to open yourself up maybe to other things, other people, other channels. I don't know, you know, what you have for a social life. Just get out more. I tell people, opt for, some people are against this, but I tell people, try the dating sites. Try eHarmony. They say they produce a lot of marriages. Maybe that's what, maybe we're missing. I don't know.
Is actually on some sort of scandalous investigation. I don't know if you guys heard about this, but it was some, they were suspecting that eHarmony was actually being racist, and it's not a lie either, because the other day I went on eHarmony.com. And you have to go through this giant, I mean, like paper. If it was in papers, it'll be like a book. You'll have to sit there and just fill out a whole book of paperwork if it was paper, but it's not, it's electronically. And they ask a bunch of questions. And based on the questions, if you answer them correctly or truthfully, and once you post up a picture, they either delete you or tell you that you're not, they can't help you on a site. And there was a whole lot of drama about African-American people saying that they were actually rejected from eHarmony.com. And they this was up on the news. They actually did a study or, you know, they did a post about it in Psychology Today. I don't know if you're familiar with that magazine.
I am. I actually used some of their stuff. My notes tonight.
Yeah, and it's crazy because I filled out, like, I've been sitting there for like 3 hours and I had to take breaks and come back and take breaks and come back and fill it out and take breaks and come back and think about the question and take breaks and come back. And, like, when I was done, they were like, we might not have, you know, what you're looking for at eHarmony.com, but then they give you other websites that you could possibly go to. And these websites are bogus. It's just a bunch of spam. People, like, selling email addresses and, you know, recycling faces from other websites and posting them there. So it's just a bunch of junk. It's crazy that you mentioned eHarmony.
Well,
because I noticed
if eHarmony, you know, and maybe that doesn't work, but my point there was, you know, you may have to try other avenues and open your world up a bit more. I think a lot of men and women are having to do that because a lot of people feel just like you just said, like, why is it so hard? It seems like the wrong people are connecting. The people that want it are connecting with the people that don't, and vice versa. So I just take that to say,
open, bro. Like, it's not that. It's just the simple fact that people are chasing it, and they run into the people that want it, and then you get all this mishap and this misunderstanding and miscommunication and aggression. What I'm about to say here is I'm going to say this, because I've experienced it. A lot of older men chasing me down, and, you know, they're bitter, and they try to give you several different reasons why you'll never find a man because you reject them. they might want it as bad as I do, but I'm sure all the information you're giving me now is actively in place right now, and I'm doing everything I can to find a partner that I match well with around my age, because I do want to grow old. I mean, you can't grow old with somebody who's already 40 years old. I'm in my 20s. So I'm doing it.
Oh,
yeah,
please, girl,
that,
give it some time.
it's people out there that just want it, mostly older men in my position, they just want it. I think they want it a little too bad, and they're not looking in their age range. And this is where I keep getting ticked off or pet peeved, because I'm in a market, and I look up, and it has to be a guy with full grays, a pot belly. He's twice as older than me. He looked like somebody I could bring home to my mother, and he wants to have relations with me, sexual relations, and I find that inappropriate. And I just get very furious that I can't find anyone around the 20s and the early 30s that is not interested in maybe dating somebody who is realistically, you know, enough. You know, just I'm not airbrushed. I'm not a supermodel. I mean, I don't catwalk.
I don't
have any plans on being naked on Facebook.
Carla, let me ask you a question. What area are you calling? What area are you in?
Currently, I'm calling from Philadelphia.
Do you, you know, I always say this, especially to our young people, if it's something lacking or missing, not, and I don't mean that like in your life, but start something. If I have seen so many young people thriving and doing so much better because they are so fearless and they are willing, a lot of them, not all, but many of them, if given the opportunity or if they will start something, I mean, start something for singles in your area and meet somewhere and open it up that way. But start a blog, if it's nothing but a blog, about singles in Philadelphia.
Twitter, I'm on Tumblr, I'm on every website, girl. I got a YouTube, a Facebook, a Twitter, a social network. I'm everywhere. Believe it or not, all the information you're giving me, I'm already actively doing. I just want to know why.
You know what I would say? If you're already doing that, then you're at a time where maybe you just need to simmer some more. Maybe it's just not God's timing right now.
Yeah, I believe that, you know, a lot of times, too, that...
How old are you?
24.
Okay, Chris is single. He's 24. How old are you?
Well, you know, Chris might be attracted to somebody without children. I had kids. I mean, they're not with me, but my body looks like they had kids. And most men let that stand in the way of love. They say, okay, well, her body's, you know, looks like that. I can't be with her.
Well, I think we're getting all that stuff. Yeah, a whole nother subject. But I would say, just for the sake of, we have some more people that want to get in. But just, and Chris wants to say something to you as well. But I would just say, you know, continue. It's okay to be a needle in a haystack. I think women should be a needle in a haystack. We should, and don't settle. That's what I would say. And just keep growing, keep doing what you need to do to be happy and complete with you. And if it comes, it comes. I hate to say that, but a lot of us are there. If it doesn't, then at least you'll be at a place and point in your life where you love you, you know who you are, and you're okay because you're not regretting the person that's going to walk in the door. And that, if you can avoid that, I'd just rather be alone than lonely and with somebody. So.
And I believe that God may have you single, you know what I'm saying, because, say, for example, you want to get married, but you're dealing with this lusting problem. So you want to be, you want to get married to, you know, this guy that you have a picture, or that you have this model of this guy that you want to be with, but you still struggle with submitting to authority, or you have areas that will be that if God was to bless you with that right now, that you will lose out on that blessing, or you would mess it up. You know what I'm saying? Because God knows you more than you know yourself. You know what I'm saying? And maybe He's protecting you, loving you enough to keep that back, you know, keep you from destroying the relationship, and vice versa to that other person as well. I think that's also a mind thing. I honestly believe that there are a whole lot of people like you out there, but they're hiding them. They're just like you. They're not putting themselves out there. You know what I'm saying? To be known. You know, they're allowed a person calling them and stuff like that. You know, they're out there. It's a mind thing. They're out there. It's just a matter of, you know, God dealing with you and, you know, and you're dealing with yourself and stuff like that. And you would just start to see, people would just start to come. He would send you those divine connections.
I think Chris made a good point there, that there's a lot of people out there like you. And that's why I said, you know, start something. And I don't think Facebook is the place to do it, all those social networks. When I say start something, I mean, like, start something where people come out. People,
let me tell you what's going to happen once I start that. Only 40-year-olds are going to show up. And I'm not being negative. Trust me, I'm everywhere. I'm at the market. I'm minding my own business.
If
I do this, trust me, it's not
going
to turn out pretty. It's going to be men looking for younger women, and I'm just going to just flip. I'm talking about flip, 302 flip.
I'm ready right now. Because even with starting something, you know, you're going to get what you're going to get. You just have to do process of elimination. And that's with everything in life. If it's not what you want, you have to keep moving forward. So oftentimes we spend too much time on things that have shown themselves. So if 40-year-olds show up, they're not for you, hey, go find the 25-year-old, the 30-year-old that is for you. But don't break it down before you set it up. Because, yes, a 40-year-old might show up, and that 40-year-old might be for the other 40-year-old. But that doesn't have anything to do with what you want or what you can eliminate in your life. So
just at an age limit, just, 30 to 20.
Right. You just have to know what you want, and when that's not what you want is not before you, keep it moving, because you'll spend too much energy and time of what that person is not, and you may miss out on the person that is. So I thank you for your call. We're going to just try. We're running low on time, so we're going to just try to move forward. But I do thank you, and I hope that you call back and say, Tammy, Chris, I met someone, and it is great. But that's okay if you don't.
You know, and it can happen in any moment. So,
right.
You know, it's not a long process. You know, it can happen any moment. You know, people can come. They move in and out of town, different people. It can happen in any moment.
Right.
So just
right.
be prepared,
right.
you know.
So, again, thank you, Philadelphia, for tuning in with us. And keep us posted. If you find love, let us know, okay?
I will.
Thank you. Interesting. A lot of people are out there looking for love. I really say, you guys, for the most part, everybody wants it, but... Again, I just think we're so, like Chris said, there's a lot of people like our caller, but people are just, the society doesn't show us that it works. And most of the time, people don't want to do the work that it requires.
Yeah.
It's just simple as that.
They don't want to tolerate.
Right, right. And, you know, we can't always be wanting something new, particularly when it comes to life partners and growing. You can't save money by going in getting money out of your savings every time. You know, you can't, if you want something, it's okay if you want things new here and there, but, you know, when you're talking about relationships, I know people that every year they want to change their furniture and this and that. I'm thinking nothing's wrong with what you have. But, again, society has gotten us there, even to the point in our relationships and how we live our lives.
It's a mind thing.
Right, it's a mind thing. No different, as I mentioned, the iPhone. No sooner than they came out with iPhone 4, they introduced you to the iPhone 5, and then they were disappointed because only 5 million of you bought the iPhone 5, not knowing that you just bought the iPhone 4 a year ago.
And I believe that we have to keep guard over our minds, because the enemy wants us to think like that. You know, if he can get us to think that there's no one out there or it's too hard, then 9 times out of 10 it is. Because if you're thinking that, and then say if that person comes to you and you see a flaw, you know, by you putting that shield up, by your mental state is like that, and your mindset is so accustomed to that. When somebody comes that's new and you ain't never, you know, thought, you know, because you're spending so much time thinking that there's nobody out there for you. You know what I'm saying? When that person does come, you shun them away somehow.
Yeah. Well, we're going to try to sum it up a little bit here. I'm going to throw out just a few more questions. And, Chris, if you need to leave, you certainly can. I don't want to keep you all night. But just a few more questions, and you guys can answer these yourselves in the midst of trying to find love or perfect your love that you have. What do you think? Well, let me skip that one. I'm going to come back because I want to end with that. Do you feel that most people have a desire to be in a relationship or have a meaningful relationship where love does exist? And, again, if you want to answer these, if you want to select the number one and do that, please feel free to do so. Another question is, do you feel there are advantages to being in love or to working to remain in love? What, if so, you know, ask yourself that. Answer the question for yourself. What are those things? And if you think you're in love now and you feel that you're not benefiting in that way, how can you perfect that love? What things can you do for the person that you've chosen to love and has chosen to love you back? We talked about this a little bit earlier. We brought this in sooner than later, but Chris mentioned the newness, and this is where I had in my notes part of talking about why when we meet someone, you know, we're gung-ho. We're ready to do everything, anything, you know, anything kind of goes. You want me there, I'm there. You want to do this, I'll do it. But as soon as time goes by and it becomes more serious, it seems like the dedication, the commitment lessons as well. It goes back to that newness, you know, and back to always gearing towards what's new and, you know, now this is old, I don't have to work as much, when it should just be the opposite. You should start out less, and as you grow and become more committed, it seems like you should want to do more. So, again, don't allow society to dictate how or when you love, as we have Valentine's Day coming up. Don't go buy something for someone that you really are struggling with. I mean, I'm not saying, let me rephrase that, because I don't want to be the reason for that. People will, as I said, people will go and spend money on someone that they don't even like, let alone love. So take some time to think about your life and where you are, and don't allow Valentine's Day to dictate what you do in your life or any other day. Another question, this is for women. What are you looking for in a man, and what would be your idea man? What would that man possess? And as you give your as you answer that question, you also need to ask, what do I bring? What can I bring to the table? Who am I? And be ready to share that. I find that a lot of people are looking for love and don't know what they want. We talked about that earlier, don't know what they're looking for. And men, the same question. What are you looking for in a woman, and what would be the ideal woman for you? What should women, this is a question that I got from a friend, so I hope they're listening. But this is a question. What should women, or what can women do for or with a presumed good man, she says, that has been truly hurt in a relationship, one that fears commitment, she says. So let me read that again, because I kind of stumbled all over that. But her question was, what should women, or what can women do for what is presumed to be a good man that has been truly hurt in a relationship, who is fearful of commitment? So, Chris, can you tell us what to do? You're the man. I think that could be anybody. I just think it becomes a choice. I do think, and I hear all the time, that I've heard people say that a man that has been hurt is just twice as hard to love, or whatever. I don't know how they say that, but it just seems that we bounce back quicker than men do, as far as when a man truly commits and gives himself, it's harder for him to trust and love again, particularly if it's happened more than once. So I don't know how to answer that one for you.
I think it's because, you know, women, by them being more emotional and them longing for that, you know what I'm saying, they can bounce, they're willing to go back into it. And men, we are more logical. And if something happened once or twice, our minds will be set. You know, when we set our minds on something, you know, it's set. You know, it's hard to, you know, be deterred from that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And yeah, I just believe that, you know, by us being more, that it plays a role, by us being more logic, it plays a role in that, you know, bounce back. Because we will get in our minds, we will set our minds on, well, I'm not going to do this no more, you know what I'm saying, because this is going to happen, you know what I'm saying, it's not going to work, you know, it happened more than once. So logically, you know, I would think that it's going to happen again once I do, so I'm going to set my mind on not engaging in whatever it is again.
I just think you have to pick better. You have to make better choices. Sometimes your first choice wasn't always your best choice, and I think we have to pay attention to the signs. I think that there are always signs to run. I think it's just a choice: do you run or not? So, if all I can say to that is if a person is not open to love, you cannot make them be. You have to suck it up and move on. Real quick, and we're going to end here. There's several things I was going to ask you in the question that I skipped over. What do you think the major cause of relationship failure is? What are some of those causes? There are several things that we just kind of know about: jealousy, attachment, selfishness, and all kinds of things. But there are three major reasons that are noted for the cause of relationship failure. Number one, which we've talked about tonight, the lack of self-love, lack of self-worth, and self-value. Fear based on what we see, and I think that goes back to what society introduces to, what we see in society. Relationships don't work. Divorces, the high rate of divorces. You see people who spend all this money on this special day and they seem so in love. I remember just talking about seeing my friends go through that. You know, I remember sitting there looking at them like, how does one get to this point where they have so much love and then they have so much hate now? So, and then the third one was past disappointments based on past relationships. And I think that's kind of what the question that we got in, what should women do? And again, that could be for men and women, but there was three: lack of self-love, fear based on what we see, past disappointments based on past relationships. That's just bringing your past into your future and not allowing the person to be who they are in that relationship. So, a few quotes, and I'm going to end it. I'm going to check the chat line real quick here. Again, if you guys want to get something in, great question there. For you guys in the chat line, if you have, I see a question, but I don't think I understand that one. So,
what's the question?
Hand me with a question mark.
Oh.
Okay. Well, if that was meant to be a question, it didn't come through, so you might want to submit it again for one of our guests in the chat room. I won't call your name. A few quotes are, love does not need to be perfect, just true or real. Love is not complicated. People are. Good relationships don't just happen. It takes two people who truly want to be together, two people who want to work to build a life together while maintaining his or her individuality or uniqueness. I'm all over on my notes here today, so I don't know where I am. I'm going to end here. And while I'm doing this for our person in the chat line, if you want to resubmit your question, please do so at this time. For those of you who are listening online with us, if you want to get something in, you must or should go ahead and select the number one now, because after I read this part, we are going to end it. I did not mean to keep Chris this long, but I'm thankful that he joined me tonight. Sorry that my other guest was not able to get off work. He ended up having to work late, so... But I'm thankful. I think it was a great show. I hope you all learned something from it. But I wanted to end with this, and I came across this, and it just says a lot about learning to love yourself. In order to do that, people, you have to identify and have some realness about where you are, who you are, how did you get here, but more importantly, now how to leave it here and move forward. So many people get stuck in their past. So much so to they have no future. They eliminate the future with their past. So I'm going to read this, and again, if we don't have anybody else that, oh, we have someone. Hold on just a second. Okay, we have a caller. And again, I'm sorry, you guys, so just hang in there with us. For those of you who've been on all night and you need to leave, you know, please do so. But we do have a caller, and again, I'm going to bring you in by providing you with your area code and the last four digits. And we have a caller from the 860, and the last four is 6881.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. I know you guys. Excuse me?
I said thank you for calling in. We're going to go until we have one person in queue, we're going to keep going. We have several out there, so you're fine. Thank you for calling in. You can go ahead with your question or comment.
Okay, I know that Valentine's Day is coming up. I guess my question is, how do you get over somebody? Because, you know, I'm having a hard time getting over a guy that, you know, left me. And, you know, I was thinking we would be together for a long time. And sometimes I'll cry about it or listen to sad songs. So I was just wondering, I know they say time heals all wounds, but it doesn't really feel that way. So I'm just wondering, how do you have any tips on how to get over somebody?
Well, first of all, turn off the sad songs. Turn off the slow songs.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta turn those off. You gotta switch it. Change the flow on that one. You gotta put on the I don't know where you're calling from, but here I say turn it on 97.1. Whatever your 97.1 is, 97.1 here is not love songs.
Yeah, I think you have to disconnect yourself from thought provoking things, resources that would provoke you into thinking, going back, gravitating to that person or those events and so forth and so on. You have to disconnect yourself from those things that make you think or gravitate towards back to that.
And another thing, too, is you have to get out. You don't, sometimes it's easy to just kind of waddle and soak in it and wait, but, you know, if it's done, it's done, and you have to just kind of move on, and that's harder to say than it is to do. But, you know, rely on your friends, the people that love you and that are there for you. You know, you have to just be okay with calling them, saying, I'm going through it. I need somebody to talk to. Can we get out, take a walk, go to the mall? Just get out, do something.
And also resources can help, too, as well. You know, you go to Barnes & Noble or something,
mm-hmm.
and find you some, you know, resources that
one day at a time.
Yeah,
you just have to really go one day at a time and not look at, oh, you know, how am I going to get through this? How can I get through this? Sometimes just in the hour, you know, rather than the day. You have to just talk your way through it and just wait it out. There's no Band-Aid for it. There's no real cure for it, because as I mentioned earlier, it's much easier and it's quicker to fall in love. That feeling seems to come much quicker than it is to fall out of love. It just takes a long time when you truly are in love or were in love, and there's just no real cure for it. The time really does take care of it. It really does. It never, I think, true love never really, really goes away. You just learn how to deal with it and live with it and move on.
Also, though, a lot of people feel that it's so simple. You hear this so much, but it is very essential, and, you know, of course, time, you know, heals and stuff like that. But when you have God in your life, God, He can do in 30 minutes what take human counseling 30 years to accomplish. You know, God, He's not only heals physically, but He heals spiritually, He heals emotionally, He's practical as well. You know what I'm saying? And we're trying to go about and cure ourselves in our own ability. We're going to keep constantly going around the same old mountain. But once we add the supernatural, once we add God into that, you know
I
what
think,
I'm saying? It's going to
see, Chris,
you're
talking
a lot
from
quicker.
A male perspective, but as a woman to woman,
yeah.
I mean, that don't always work for us. And
yeah.
I hear what you're saying. Sometimes you have to pray. You just got to pray your way through it, and that's good too. But because we are more emotional, and I think you guys detach more easily than we do, just the way it is. And so when you're going through that, sometimes, you know, women are just different. We listen with our heart. You guys listen with your ears. So
yeah,
we just, yeah. But so just, I hate that you're going through it. I understand. But just take the time. Don't waddle in it. Please stop listening to the love songs. Listen, go buy you a beat CD. Get out when you need to get out. Cry when you need to cry.
Get you a hobby. If you're having a
change, just change the flow.
Yeah.
You got to change the course.
Basically, yeah.
And one day you'll wake up and think, okay, I can deal with this. One day you'll probably be looking into someone's eyes that really, really, that's meant for you, and think, boy, I'm so glad that didn't work out.
And I believe that what we mess up at is, or that women or whoever mess up at is, they're spending all of their energy on trying not to think about it. We won't never accomplish trying not to think about it, but replace those thoughts, replace those things that you used to do pertaining to those things that you miss, you know, with the mate and stuff like that, and replace it with, you know,
your hobbies or, you know, things, you know, occupy your mind with something that would take your mind off of that hurt, because we will never completely, you know, get rid of those thoughts on our own. You know, we have to replace those thoughts. We have to think about something else. That's how you heal mentally, because it's really all mental, mentally and emotionally. Mental, it plays a big part, but emotionally. I'm telling him, no, she doesn't.
I'm telling him that for him it is, because he's a man, but.
No, it actually does, because our mind, we, you know, y'all gravitate towards, y'all think about this all of the time, you know.
Y'all who?
Women. Women in general, y'all think about that all of the time, you know what
I'm
saying?
We think about what all the time?
Y'all think about y'all past hurts all of the time, if not being fixed. You know, y'all will continue to gravitate towards that because it's.
I think we think about it more, but how can you if you're hurting?
You're right. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm saying that
you have to occupy your mind.
Okay. You have to change your course and occupy your mind, because without doing something, or without, you know, trying to make an effort to do something else, y'all will gravitate towards those things.
Okay. I see what he's saying. I think he's saying, you have to get up and get out. And that doesn't mean always, I don't think it's a good thing to move on and move forward with someone else until you have at least gotten to a certain point and gotten through it, because I just think it adds gasoline to fire. But I don't know. My heart breaks for you. Been there, done that. Know the feeling. So
it does. I mean, it does hurt, because, you know, and because it does feel like I can't live without him. I know it sounds stupid and silly, but it does feel that way, because my heart is so attached to him, and I feel like, I know I shouldn't feel that way. It's just, you know, for him to, I mean, him blocking my number, you know, and you know, people tell me, okay, you are going to move on, but it's easier said than done. It is, and I'm trying so hard, but, you know, I'm still in love with this man, and, you know, it's just, it's heartbreaking, you know.
It
really
is. It is, and I hear your pain, and I really feel for you, and, but again, you know, sometimes we just really have to go through it. But I promise you, it does get better. It will get better. Sometimes God's rejection is God's protection. You probably heard that before, and it's not a good thing to look at it as rejection, but it just is what it is. Sometimes God is protecting us from saying things that we can't see and we don't see. We're so caught up in the feeling of it. But take this time to get out, to reflect more on you, to grow more, and just trust that there is the right person is out there for you. If it's him, so be it. If it's not, you owe it to yourself to be able to pick yourself up and move on. Easier said than done, I know it is. It really is.
And I believe that crying, you know, a lot of people look at crying as weakness and stuff like that.
Healing.
But, you know, if you're holding that stuff in, let it all out.
Right.
You know, get before God and just let it all out, because you're holding all of that in, you know, it's going to be harder, you know, than you're letting it out. You're crying it out. You're allowing your emotions to, just well off. You know what I'm saying? In a release. So basically, you know, you release yourself.
It's cleansing.
It is cleansing.
So don't be hard on yourself. Don't feel like you shouldn't. When you need to go through it, just go through it. Just go through it. Because I promise you, you wake up. Some days it'll be good. Some days it'll be bad. Some hours will be terrible. And then you'll find yourself the next hour it's bearable.
Mm-hmm.
So time.
Because I know this young lady I was talking to earlier, she's pretty much going through the same thing. Her ex had called her. She had a breakdown on the phone with him. And she said, although she has that, you know, she had a lot of things. She had released a lot of things, you know what I'm saying, to him, and how she been feeling towards him and stuff like that. And as she broke down, you know, there may be a little too much or whatever, or I don't know, but as she broke down and as she well off like that, at the same time, she felt a little bit more better. She felt, she actually said she felt a lot better because she got that out. It's a release.
It's a release. And that's what you have to do. You just need those people in your lives where you, in your life, where you can do that, where you can call and just, they say, it's okay, cry.
Not your ex, you don't have to do, but, you know, friends that are willing to listen to you.
Right. So I hope that has helped you. And, again, I'm sorry. I hear your pain.
Yeah.
I wish we could do more. I wish I was close. I'd give you a hug. I really would, but I feel your pain. I do. Hang in there.
It's going to get better.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it, and I'll definitely call back again.
Thank you so much.
All right, bye.
Yes, bye-bye. Okay, I'm going to end with this quote, and we'll end it there and move on. It goes this: I am me in all the world. There is no one else exactly like me. Everything that comes out of me is authentically mine because I alone chose it. I own everything about me, my body, my feelings, my mouth, my voice, all my actions, whether they be to others or myself. I own my fantasies, my dreams, my hopes, my fears. I own my triumphs and successes, all my failures and mistakes because I own all of me. I can become intimately acquainted with me. By doing so, I can love me and be friendly with all my parts. I know there are aspects about myself that puzzle even me, and other aspects that I do not know. But as long as I am friendly and loving to myself, I can courageously and hopefully look for solutions to the puzzles and ways to find out more about me. However I look and sound, whatever I say and do, and whatever I think and feel at a given moment in time is authentically me. If later some parts of how I looked, sounded, thought, and felt turn out to be unfitting, I can discard that which is unfitting, keep the rest, and invent something new for that which I have discarded. I can see, hear, feel, think, say, and do. I have the tools to survive. And to our caller, you have the tools to survive, to be close to others, to be productive, and to make sense and order out of the world of people and things outside of me. I own me, and therefore I can engineer me. I am me, and I am okay. I hope that blessed someone tonight. I hope that everyone has been blessed by the show and the details. We were kind of all over the place tonight. That is a quote from a Virginia Stair quote. That's what that is from. I'm going to check the chat line real quick. Okay, we're good there. I want to just say thank you. Had no idea that this would go this long. Appreciate all of you guys staying on with us. Appreciate you guys in the chat line for listening as well. We'll see you back next Monday. Next Monday's show is going to be a number of people that are coming on, sharing their stories. We have some people that have really struggled and just persevered in the midst of struggle. So I'm excited about that show. It will be a motivating show. It will help you think about moving forward no matter where you are, making that choice, being in control of you, as I just read in that poem. You are you. You are authentically you. So know who you are so that you'll know what's good for you, who's good for you, when, where, and how. Let's no longer allow society to dictate what we do, when we do it, and how we do it. Become authentically you. So that being said, thank you all again for listening. I hope that everyone has a blessed night. We will see you back 8 o'clock Central Time next Monday. Until that time, be blessed. Thank you.